Robots and automated machines are already taking over some of our jobs, and for some people, this helps increase productivity. A new report called The Future of Skills Employment in 2030 claims nearly 30% of the 160 million people in USA's workforce can relax knowing their jobs are safer than they thought. But what if a robot took your job and you were no longer needed? The Wire's Catherine Andrews spoke to David Fagan from the Queensland University of Technology about how employment will change if robots and technology replace our jobs.
I don't think we can say robots will take over all of our jobs, but robots will become more and more part of the workplaces we're in. And this, as it always has with technology, will change the nature of how we work. Some people will learn to work with robots to do tasks we probably don't even currently imagine. But others will be supplanted by robots. And I think what's important to understand is what will happen to those people and what are the skills that people in the workforce now will need if they're going to work with robots.
What implications will this have on people's skills and how people will prepare for the workforce in the future? Will they need to change which specific skills they learn to get into the workforce?
One thing that's important coming into the workforce, or even if you're well into your life in the workforce, is to have an understanding of technology and how it operates. And I think in many cases, then it's to understand how you can use that technology yourself. And that may go from quite ordinary levels through to being the person who can start programming the technology. But I think all of us who want to be in the workforce in the future have to have at least some feel for what the technology is. Now, that's not all, because the thing that will really differentiate all of us in the future probably is our capacity to do those very human things that machines just can't do. And that means more people who are skilled with the empathy to work with others, to be able to apply creative thinking to solve big problems, and to do the things that will just differentiate us from machines.
How vulnerable are people working in blue-collar jobs?
There's varying research on this. Some research a couple of years ago pointed to the fact that 47% of jobs were vulnerable to technology disruption. Now, some of the people involved in that research have had a fresh look at it, and they've downgraded that figure to it now being 20% of people involved in the workforce were vulnerable to disruption. But what's interesting with that is that in the earlier sort of discussion of this, it was a given that a lot of blue-collar jobs were the ones that were the first in the firing line. But as they've looked at this more, it appears that a lot of the blue-collar jobs may actually be much safer than we thought. A lot of work in the agricultural industry on farms, which is hard, unforgiving work, is probably still going to be more effectively done by humans wearing blue collars or brown collars or green collars or whatever than it will be by machines.
What if you work as a tradesperson or a job where you work with your hands and love what you do, but a robot may replace you?
Well, there are jobs like that, and there have always been jobs like that right through the history of industrialisation. And I think the key is to be alert to the risk of that. But I think there's a broader issue where society needs to understand that, and then people who lead us, the politicians who we elect to lead us, also need to be starting to think about, well, what is going to happen to the people in those jobs as the technology comes along, given that some of them won't be equipped to reskill, some of them won't be prepared to reskill, or some of them may be just at the stage in their working life where they just don't want to. So I think the first thing is, if you're able to reskill or upgrade your skill, well, it's important to do that. But the second thing is to make sure that society and governments in general are understanding that this is just going to happen and we want as few victims as possible.
Do you think a basic income would be useful for workers replaced by automation?
I think this is a big discussion, and it's particularly the case in Europe. And I think if the scale is around that 47 or 50% mark that's being talked about, it's something that has to be slap bang in the middle of the table. My preference is that people always have the capacity to work, because there's a whole lot that goes with work other than just getting income. But I think that what you suggest is something that has to be part of the discussion. But as we find that the risk may not be as high as we earlier thought it might be, it also can become less a part of the discussion. The more important part of the discussion is, how do we keep people working in meaningful ways that will create income for them, but also fulfil their natural desire to be productive.
David Fagan, Director of Corporate Transition at the Queensland University of Technology and author of Wake Up, speaking to The Wire's Catherine Andrews.